続きまして、ディファレンシャルモデルのフロー、with セリアルモデル、in ベロゲーと題しまして、SPI シムの税信ハンさんよりご発表いただきます。Mr. Han, would you start?
Thanks for the introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Wei Xin Huang, with Spicin from USA.Today, I'm going to share our experience in differential modeling. We're going to talk about the background and some of the shortcomings we have seen in current process and suggest some improvement. The author of this paper, another one, gentleman Sanjeev, is not available today. I have prepared about 20 slides and I was given about 30 minutes.I will leave about 5 minutes for Q&A. This is the agenda for my presentation. First, I'm going to talk about the background about differential modeling and why we are doing this study. The main reason we're doing this study is because we have seen some shortcoming of current process, and we suggest some other process, such as using VeroA, may address this issue. In particular, we are going to talk about.How we model the differential current and the external modeling using VeroA in series model. We have a bullet about flow and validation. If you are using external or your in-house tool and you want to validate the differential modeling flow, we have some suggestion here. Finally, I'm going to give a summary and Q&A.So for the following several slides, I will strongly recommend you download and read the Piper's cookbook. Here I am just to summarize the process. In the cookbook, it has a very lengthy description. I try to make it a little bit clear. When we talk about differential buffer, we usually can categorize into three types. One is full differential. You can see for the pull up circuitry and the pull down circuitry, they are both coupled.Then we have half differential. The pull-up circuitry are independent with each other, but the pull-down circuitry is the current mirror and that affect both of the two outputs. Finally, we have pseudo differential buffer. Here, both of the, these two outputs are independent with each other, so they are not coupling with each other at all. Regardless of which differential buffer,When you use the differential buffer in the IBUS, you will need to have a different diff pin description. The diff pin suggests the reverted signal between like this number 10, pin 2 and pin 3. So these pin 6 and 5, they are inverted. However, this does not suggest any electrical behavior. That's why we need a differential modeling.Generally speaking, there are two methods to model a differential buffer. The first one is suggested in the IBUS cookbook, which uses the series element. In this method, we try to use the existing general IBUS, which is single-ended, plus a series element to create the differential buffer. This series element is introduced to describe the coupling behavior.In the series element, there are predefined syntax. So you have to choose one of the element, predefined series element in this series model. These predefined elements are series resistor, series RL, RLC, series current used to describe the nonlinear resistor, and series MOSFET, which can be used to describe three-terminal behavior.The accuracy of this series element is very important because it is used to describe the coupling effect. When you use the series element, series model to describe the differential model, in addition to the differential pin we just talked about, you also need to have a series pin mapping keyword. Series pin mapping keyword describes which two pins connect this series element. because this element is a two-pin device, so you have a pin 1 here and pin 2 here. So you need to specify in the IBUS file which two pin connect these series models. And then you have the regular model section which describes these series elements. This is the regular process suggested in the IBUS cookbook. You do not need to know detailed operation of your model as long as you can create a series element to describe the coupling behavior. This should work. Another method which we have seen a lot of cases in the past IBUS presentation is using external model. If you read the IBUS spec, you will see that for differential buffer, there are several differential types: input differential, output differential, I/O differential, and three-state differential. However, it also says that when you use this differential type, you need to have an external model. And then you use the external model such as VHDL, Verilog, SPICE, or IBUS interconnect subcircuit description to describe the differential buffer. So using the external model, you also need to have an external file. In this case, it's a VHDL file, and you specify the corner. Using this method, it's basically like writing a programming. You put all the details, as much detail as you want, in this external model using this language. Because this language, there's no restriction on how you model it. That also means that if you write this plain text description, because this description cannot be encrypted, all the other people will see. So there are trade-offs in these two methods. Using this method, you can put a lot of details. It's very flexible. However, it may be case by case because you need to understand the differential buffer before you can write a description. And whoever gets this model will be able to see the syntax. Comparing to the previous one, using the series element, which is the standard process, you can create a model like the black box method. Until this point, we have not seen any paper showing that these two can work together. But that's what we suggest in this presentation. These two methods can actually work together. In the subsequent slides, I'm going to focus on the first method using series element, because this is a case by case. Basically, you create each differential using external model separately. This is an important slide because it highlights the details about differential modeling using the series element. Basically, you have several steps you need to take. These are detailed in the IBUS cookbook. When you use the series element to describe the differential buffer, there are several steps in the modeling process. You need to do the IV and VT, but then in the IV simulation, after you have simulation data, you need to extract the common mode current. The purpose of this common mode current calculation is so that you can only get the differential current, and the differential current is described in this series element. And then you need to describe this change of behavior using the CD. Now let me explain a little bit. Usually when we create a model, we create a current probe here. So when you probe the current, the pull-up circuit here flows through this branch. There are current flow outside and also flow through this series element. So with the current flowing through here, the current you measured here is not pure from this driver. So remove this. We have an assumption that when this voltage here and the voltage here are the same, there is no current flow through this element. At that point, the current flow through here will go to the output. That's why we need to extract the common mode current. As shown in the cookbook, the process is a two-dimensional sweep. Basically, you have a sweep at one of the ports, say the P port here, and then you step through the voltage at the other port. basically you create a two-dimensional suite. Once you have this two-dimensional surface, we have a picture in the next two slides. You need to, your flow needs to do some calculation in order to extract the common mode current. The remaining part is the differential current and put into here. Now, for the transient, we want to essentially like removing this series element. The way we do it is we have an accurate description of the transient current, but here there is a minus sign. So when we put a minus sign here, they're basically like removing this series element. And then we do the normal VT extraction, then VT data will go into here. So the purpose of the transient simulation is essentially try to remove this coupling as much as possible. Then after we do the two-dimensional sweep, you will get a voltage at P, voltage at N, and a current probe. And then you need to visualize the data. In this case, this design, the surface is very flat. Along the differential mode, the common mode direction, which is the diagonal part, because in the diagonal, each point, the voltage at P and voltage N are the same. You will, for each of the points, you need to extract the current. The data will go to the IV curve of the hybrid data. This is a typo, this should be the voltage. Once you get the current, you subtract the current from the extracted surface. That's basically like shifting the whole surface up and down. In this example, the surface is very flat. That means you can take a slope in the differential mode direction and put into the series element. That also means you only need a series resistance in the series element and you can describe the coupling behavior. So this is a simple case. In this case, the surface is nonlinear. And this is also nonlinear in both of the direction. So this is where the complication comes. There are several ways to create this model. Essentially, you need to describe this nonlinear surface. So, if you look at the past IPAS presentation, one of the papers done by Arpad Murani from Mental Graphic, you will see that he used the equation, the second order or third order equation, and then use the mean square error fit. Basically, you get a coefficient for this equation, so that you can minimize the mean square error. Of course, you need to check the relative so that your equation is a good fit. Once you get an equation, you can put that equation into the control element of the spice, like EFGH, and put that into one of the series element equation for transient simulation. That's one way. Another possible method is you can create the series MOSFET already at this point. Series MOSFET is a three-terminal device. So you can use this three-terminal equation to describe this nonlinear surface. Another method we are going to talk about is behavior model. Now, accurately describing this surface is very important because otherwise your transient simulation will not be accurate and your VT will not be correct. One important characteristic we need to address here is, so far we have talked about using resistance to describe this series MOSFET. Now, this resistance has no polarity. So the current only depends on the voltage difference between these two terminals. So when the voltage sign is reversed, only the current sign reverses. So if you have a symmetric buffer, you will not be able to handle it with this resistance. So there is no polarity consideration. Now we need to construct the model for the transient simulation. Again, the purpose of transient simulation is to remove the coupling effect of the series element so that these two buffers basically uncoupled. Again, this picture is from Iper's cookbook. It's also, again, a two-dimensional sweep. you have a DC bias and you have a small signal with the AC signal. Just like the C cup. This service, this capacitor you measured depends on the operating frequency and also depending on the DC bias. So here comes the second shortcoming of existing method. In the IBUS cookbook, you will find an equation to compute the CD. But as we see here in this extraction from the actual data, one CD value, just like CCAM, cannot describe such a surface. Eventually, you have to pick a frequency, pick a DC bias, and take that value, and that's not accurate enough. With this shortcoming we have seen so far, we try to address using the behavior model as described in the next several slides. So our motivation for this study is there are two aspects. First of all, when we use the series element to describe the coupling, it's subject to rigid syntax. There are only six types of series element you can use. Secondly, there is no polarity. If you use a resistance, only the current is reversed depending on the voltage sign, and there's no polarity consideration. Also, there is a modeling flow interruption, as you will see in the later slide. During the IV simulation, after you get the IV data, you need to stop and post-processing the data. Come up with the equation or the model to describe the DC behavior of this series element before you can move on to run change simulation. So one of the possibilities, you will generate the series element first before you can generate the whole thing. Secondly, even with this, mainly because of the CD limitation, there are some accuracy limitations for the VT extraction. If your IDIF does not represent the existing current in reverse sign of this series element, your VT extraction will not be accurate. So combined with the original method, we talk about there is the external model. Using the external model, you can put all the model details in the external model section. That gives you the accuracy, but the trade-off is portability. So here we suggest another method. We can use series element as a base. So most of the case is very portable. When your customer needs extra accuracy, you can use an external model only for that series model. One of the possibilities is using Verlo A. The reason we suggest this type of approach is, first of all, Verlo A supports a table lookup model. So after you do the IV simulation, you can extract the data without doing further processing. For example, you don't need to do the mean square error fit. You don't need to generate the series MOSFET. You can just take the raw data, which is like this, and let the simulator to handle the linear interpolation. So you can give such a table into the such template we provided. Secondly, Verlo A, VHDL is the same. It supports several operators. For example, it supports the dV over dt. So it has such an operator for you to do further modeling. Another example, we talk about the CD, the voltage and frequency dependency. Here, the table lookup, you can give the second variable, input variable, which can be the frequency or the voltage. So based on this one, then you can give a more accurate description about the CD. That's a little bit similar to the CCAM. If the simulator you use only supports a one-dimensional table, the Verlo A syntax supports two-dimensional table, but not all the simulators support it. So if your simulator only supports one-dimensional table, you can do it like this one, and you can still achieve the two-dimensional interpretation. So when you put all the things together, the model will be something like this. You will have a model, and then these are the individual model, and then you have a series model connect between these output pins. This series model is used to describe the coupling behavior. This series model, the basis can be the series element. So if your customer care more about portability, you can just provide them with this series element, try to make them as accurate as you can. But understand there are some limitations. So if they need extra accuracy, you can tell them to uncomment such portion of the external model supporting the series element. In this series element external model, you can introduce the delta difference, and this will give you the actual accuracy. So this way you have the best of both worlds. For most of the customer, they can use the series element. You don't need to review any modeling process you have taken, and you can also support actual accuracy if needed. The next two slides is talking about differential flow. This is not described very clearly in the IQOS cookbook. Normally, when we talk about single-ended differential, single-ended modeling, we have such process. We collect all the simulation inputs, such as the bias condition, the input output. Then we can generate test bench. The test bench is such that the IV and VT are independent with each other because you only need to post-processing later. That means once you generate a test bench, you can spread it out into the simulation from different computer and simulate them in parallel. Once you have the simulation data, you can bring the data back and post-processing. At that time, you post-processing the IV and VT and combine it together. Then you have an IQOS model. Then you do the syntax checking, validate the model, and generate the performance report. So this is a normal process for single-ended. For differential, it's a little bit different. Before you can run change-in simulation, you need to have a model describing the coupling behavior. So the process is a little bit like this. Still, you collect the simulation input. Then you generate a test bench. However, at this stage, only the IV simulation will be used. That also means the first simulation, you only need to perform an IV simulation. Once you have the IV simulation data, you post-processing it. Basically, you compute the common mode current, differential mode current, create either the EFGH element to describe the coupling effect, or the variable A, or the series MOSFET. Only then you can run the change-in simulation. In the change-in simulation, you depend on the model you created at this stage. You have to remove the coupling current accurately, otherwise the VT data you get for that IQOS model will not be accurate. So this is a little bit need the processing for the differential modeling flow. Now, what if you are using a tool, or if your company is developing your differential modeling flow? How are you going to validate it? We know that in a series element method, we use two single-ended and one series model to connect everything together. So to validate the flow, one can do it this way. I can take an existing single-ended IQOS model. I can create a coupling between two pins artificially. You can put the known result of a resistance, RL or RLC. Then you put this everything together in a subcircuit and solve it to the tool you use or your flow. See whether they can reproduce the IV curve in this single-ended IQOS model accurately. If not, then your DC simulation has a problem. After the IV post-processing, you should be able to report the resistance and the C-diff used in this series element. If you cannot reproduce the value, then you do not need to proceed further. You need to go back and check your flow. If everything is correct, then you can run simulation, and if that series element match the coupling you insert artificially very accurately, then you should be able to recreate the VT data over the existing known IQOS model. This way, using existing model and artificial coupling, you should be able to validate any tool or flow your company is using. So summary, Ibis Cookbook has a section describing differential modeling. But reading through this, you need to follow certain procedures. Even with that, you need to understand at some point, particularly in the CDIF section, there are some inaccuracy will be introduced. That will affect the VT data. To address that shortcoming, we propose several approaches. One of them is to use a variable A and use its table lookup function and many operators to increase the accuracy and also streamline flow. With this method, you can use the external model in a series model section and make them both working together. The benefit of this is you can take care of portability for some customer who demand accuracy. You can satisfy the needs using this external model. You will find all the reference in the next slide. That's all I have.
それでは、質疑応答の時間に入りたいと思います。ご質問の方は挙手をお願いいたします。
Actually, I do have one question. We're saying, I think this is slide 12. Could we look at slide 12? No, maybe 11. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me just ask the question. The slide may not matter. When you are using a model that, let's say it's written in Verilog A, and this is the series model, and so it only has two ports available to it, the positive port and the negative port, and so it is able to calculate a current between those two ports. Is it also able to know the voltage of a port relative to, let's say, some ground, so that voltage, so that the common mode voltage can affect the output?
Right. So here it's not in a box. It's kind of small. Here you can get a voltage of any particular node. So any terminal you have here, you can get the specific voltage rather than just the differential voltage.
I see, and that is the voltage against node
Wrong.
Zero,
Wrong.
Something like node zero. Okay,
right.
Thank you.
Thanks for your attention.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fang.